Please rise and join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We did stand up.
What are you talking about, Lisa?
Bob.
Oh, okay. Okay. Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, April 21st, 2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
Have none.
I have none.
We have an agenda. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. I sent out a media release to all of the newspapers and the radio stations in regards to encouraging voters to check their mail for absentee ballot request forms coming from the Secretary of State's office. They will be mailing those later this week, so they should start showing up in their boxes probably early, either late this week or early next week. And those forms are absentee request forms. The Secretary of State's mailing it to all registered active voters in Des Moines County. And all anybody needs to do is fill those out, make sure they complete them, sign them, and send them back, because postage is paid. The Secretary of State is paying for the return postage mailed back to us. And then after that, once we receive those, we start mailing out mailed ballots on Thursday, on the 23rd, and we mail out the ballots, and the county pays the postage for the return ballots, so nobody has to worry about finding postage stamps or anything like that. It's easy, it's safe. But anyway, I sent out the news media release to the newspapers and stuff, and it's just encouraging everybody to vote by mail. And we will have two precincts open the day of the election, but we're hoping that is minimal people that show up, those that maybe they're brand new voters and didn't have time to register and they need to vote, or if somebody just can't get out or couldn't get a ballot by mail, we'll have curbside voting and stuff like that. We're still working on the logistics of how we are going to provide in-person absentee voting here at the courthouse. Most likely it'll probably be curbside voting. So that means anybody that wants to come down here to vote, it's going to be curbside voting, and they're going to have to call and make an appointment. So then that way we can meet them downstairs and take all the necessary information and everything. So we're still working on a lot of that. So, but anyway, just want to encourage everybody, and in my little statement I said, as county auditor, I want voters to protect themselves and our precinct election officials, and to please stay at home and vote at home if you possibly can. Our normal turnout is usually 10%, so it's a very low turnout because people don't want to have to declare Democrat or Republican, because those are the only two ballots that we have. And I think the last time, I think I went back to 1996, we actually had a 23.6% turnout. I don't know what was on the ballot back in 1996.
What year was that?
1996. So, but that's the largest, and that's about what I ordered ballots for. So if everybody decides they want to vote and I have to order more ballots, hey, that will be fine with me. So it wouldn't be the first time I've had to order more ballots. So just want to encourage everybody to vote by mail and look in their mailboxes for that absentee request form that will be coming from the Secretary of State's office. And we also have a news flash on the county website. It says your vote counts, and there's a lot of information on there. And there's a sample of that mailing that's coming out that is also on there, so people can see what it is that's actually coming to their house, the form and everything. So, and then I've also got on there the list of the precinct locations that are going to be open on election day. So we're just trying to get the information out there. So.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Colin Gers, IT.
Just keeping really busy. Nothing really new to report. So.
Okay. We got on.
I have the first one I have on here is Angie Vaughn, but it doesn't look like her audio is connected yet. Okay. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Ryan Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning.
Morning.
Couple updates. Project on North Gear is still moving on. We moved traffic over on the far north end, so the traffic on 115th and a couple of the homes on North Gear right on the north end are using the new pavement on the hill to get out while the contractor's starting to remove the existing pavement working towards the south. So that'll kind of be the theme. The whole time we're going to work from north to south. So that's moving along. Maybe by late next week or some more main line out there. Otherwise, it'll be the following. Beaver bridges are moving along well. Both bridges are out. They're both crews are working on getting rid of the abutments of the existing bridge and maybe start driving piling late this week or more likely next week. Iowa City Road has maybe a little unintended challenge, but they did pour some concrete the north half of the intersection at the intersection, I guess, with Mediapolis Road. They poured that yesterday. But their rock supplier from the Columbus Junction area had to shut down due to COVID-19. So they're back open and crushing, but then their plant broke down. So that supply is slow and being produced. So right now they're doing what they can to keep busy. It might hold things up a little bit. It may not. Time will tell there. So hopefully by the end of this week we'll force the main line there, but that's not a guarantee. And we've got three bids out. Two of them will take on April 30th. Harry and I have that set up and ready to go. And then the bigger one being the bridge on Highway 99 there, Black Creek, will be May 7th. And we've had some other requests for plans on that, so that's good to see the activity at least. Hopefully get some good competition. And Tom, I wasn't sure if you were going to be there today, so I didn't come down, but I need to catch up with you after the meeting. If you're going to be around the courthouse for a few minutes, I need a signature on some DOT paperwork.
Okay.
So other than that, that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Did you happen to get a 5-year budget for DOT?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I can't work on that. I did not get that at this point, but we'll get that, and I think they should have a draft out, so I'll just have Julie jump on and get that printed off and scan it and send it to you with anything that applies to the 61 project.
Well, that'd be great, or I could possibly go do it myself.
That sounds like
a lot of effort, Bob.
Thank you, Brian.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. So we are finally starting on our FEMA projects. After last year's flood, our contractors have moved in to Stars Cave, and so the trail from the Nature Center back to the bridge is going to be closed during the week while the contractor is working. They've got large equipment in there, and they're hauling all that sand and flood debris from the side of the trail, the side of the parking lot. They're hauling that out of there. And so they expect that work to take, about a week of actual work time. So they expect it to be a couple weeks, with weather delays and stuff like that. Be aware of that trail is closed, and then the parking lot is being used by large equipment as well. So getting in and out of there for the public is problematic while they're working. Contractors should also be starting, might even be there today, on Welter Campground, our Maple Loop Campground, and on the segments of Flint River Trail that are off there by 155th. There were some segments of trail that blew out there. They'll be in there replacing the surfacing on those sites, rebuilding the road and camp hats at the campground down there at Maple Loop. at Walter Recreation Area. So timing on that is actually really great because obviously the campgrounds are closed down, so really good time to be in there working. So those are the big things we have going on that'll affect, you know, stuff from the public's perspective. Still seeing just massive amounts of people out on our trails, in our parks, you know, out fishing on the lake, and things like that. And, you know, because our areas are fairly large and they can keep their distance from each other. We've been kind of adjusting our patrol schedules to be out to accommodate the daytime use. You know, with the campgrounds being closed, we don't really have a lot of evening and nighttime use that we would normally see this time of year. So we've adjusted to that. Everybody's been pretty good. We're happy to provide the places that they want to get out and break the cabin fever from all this isolation and everything. So that's about it.
Thanks, Chris.
Doug Irvine, DeWine County Jail.
Doug Irvine, jail administrator. Good morning, Doug.
Yeah, good morning. Everything's doing good at the jail. Our population is down to 54, and I'd like to, that's mainly due to our court system that's working really well with us, as well as Lisa Schaefer and her department, been very good to work with and helping us out on getting some different policies in place. I also would like to thank our maintenance department, specifically Jack Brissy, been a big help in getting our video visitation up and going. That will help in alleviating people coming out to the jail to visit inmates are going to be able to do that remotely from their cells. So that'll be a big help. I'm glad we got that up and going. Other than that, we've been staying busy and everything's going well.
Good.
You know, it's nice to see you down to 54, but I don't like what caused it to get down there with everything.
Yeah, it is nice. We do still have five out of county. That's just due to spacing issues. We have not had any problem getting people in or out of prison, so that helps out too. I was a little worried about them stopping intakes into prisons, but we've had good luck with that.
Good.
I was wondering about that. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, thank you.
Gina Harden, Emergency Management.
Gina Harden, Emergency Management.
Good morning. The only thing I have for you that's non-COVID related is if you're watching the Mississippi River, it is going down. We are below major flood stage, I believe. Let me double check here real quick. Yes, we are below major. We're in moderate flood stage and going down quickly. Hopefully we'll be out of flood stage by maybe the 1st of May, keeping our fingers crossed. Good morning.
Hi, Krista.
Public health is just keeping busy. We do have 14 confirmed cases in the county, so we just continue to do our follow-up on our investigations. I don't really have anything new to report.
Okay. The state says we have 3 recovered, but it's actually 1 recovered and 2 almost recovered.
Yes, I mean, and we probably could be very close to that 3 recovered at this point in time. It depends on where they're at in the investigation phase. Anyone that we've had that's positive has to be 7 days without since the onset of symptoms, and then it's 72 hours beyond that. So I'll have to double check with the nurses that are working with those cases, but yes, the last I had checked, we'd only had the 1 and a couple that was very close, but I haven't talked to them this morning.
Okay.
How do they declare them healed?
You have to, it has to be a week without, from the onset of symptoms, and an additional 3 days. Is that correct, Krista?
It is. So it's 7 days from the onset of symptoms. So the minimal that you have to be self-isolated is 7 days. But then beyond that, it's 72 hours without symptoms. So if you start this on a Monday, the next Monday, hypothetically, you could be done. However, on Sunday, if you're still coughing or have a fever, that'll add 72 more hours. So it'll keep going 72 hours until your symptoms free. So it's 7 days plus 72 hours without symptoms.
Are you still contagious?
Yes, and so that's why they're asking, anytime you're symptomatic, they're considering you to be potentially contagious.
But after the 72 hours without symptoms, then you're not?
Yes, and essentially, yes. I mean, they're not advocating, the state is not advocating for any retesting, or that's not their recommendation. Now, some places, some employers are requesting that, but that's not a recommendation that the state has made. Essentially, as long as you met that criteria, then you're able to leave isolation.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Ken Heinemann, Central Point of Coordination.
Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. We've had 4 contract meetings by Zoom for the field region. We have a contract meeting at 10 o'clock today also, and we have 4 more scheduled for next week. Also, our field management team's working on rewording the management plan to include children's services, so we've been having Zoom meetings to do that. So things are staying busy.
Thanks, Ken.
Jackie Myers, Clerk of Court.
Jackie Myers, Clerk of Court.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Things are going fairly well. We are still alternating the staff. Certain members come in the office and work on site 1 week. Then we rotate and then the other members are working from home, and then we just switch. We're not having mainly any in-person hearings unless there's special circumstances or for emergency type matters. We can accept filings via email, and we just keep pushing some court dates back and doing the best that we can, but really nothing new to report. Everything is going fairly well. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jackie.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We just continue to keep busy processing transactions from the mail, the Dropbox, and online payments, tax and motor vehicle renewals, and answering the nonstop phone calls. Just a reminder, though, again, I'll reiterate that property tax payments may continue to be paid now through April 30th without interest through the governor's proclamation. Other than that, I have nothing new.
Okay. Thank you, Janelle.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Good morning, everyone. I'm obviously working from home today as our attorneys are staggering. Although we each have our own individual offices, we know that without attorneys, we would be in trouble because law enforcement continues to be busy. Obviously, you read the paper. There were a couple of shootings over the weekend that are continuing to be investigated. They're still diligently engaging in firearms and drug interdiction cases. So we are still staying fairly busy, busier than one would think given the social distancing rules. Law enforcement still is active. So our attorneys we've staggered where at least a couple of us are working home every day just to ensure if there is an issue that we at least have one or two of us that should be good to go. The state auditor's report was released this morning regarding an investigation into some purchases at the sheriff's office during Jeff White's tenure, at least the last year or two. Just to let everyone know, our office has asked the Attorney General's office to step in and conduct a review for charges. just staying consistent with our policy that if law enforcement, although he is retired, we still consider Jeff White a law enforcement officer. Whenever there are allegations of wrongdoing, we turn those over to the Area Prosecutions Division. I called Scott Brown on Friday after we were alerted that the auditor's report would be being released, and he agreed to assign one of his attorneys to that. So our office will not be handling anything involving that. So I've been fielding phone calls from the media most of the morning prior to the meeting, basically telling them just that. Otherwise, we're just staying busy and isolating ourselves as much as possible. And just, again, waiting for the next tsunami.
Thank you, Lisa. Maybe you should send out a press release to the criminal element in Des Moines County and tell them that they're supposed to be staying at home.
Well, my guess is they don't follow things that are laws that will get them sent to prison. I'm guessing they don't really care much about the governor's proclamation.
Sounds like a lawyer's response.
Thank you, Lisa.
Zach James, land use.
Zach James, land use.
Looks like Jared.
Hello, this is Jared.
Morning, Jared.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Hey, I wanted to test my audio here because I'm working from home, working on my computer, so I just want to make sure that worked. I think Zach may have had a meeting earlier. So in terms of land use, we have had a few inquiries over the past week. It's been kind of a challenge logistically to get everything processed when something does come in. We only had a couple actual permits that needed to be processed, but we've been able to make it through it. I think people are bored and looking for productive things to do, and I'm sure there's a lot of building and subdivision things that they've kicked around as possibilities for a while, but now that there's not much to do, they're thinking about it. So some of that is just more down the road, just trying to get an idea what they need to do. So, apart from that, nothing really significant to report. We do have an item on the agenda later.
Thank you, Jared.
I don't see anyone else from the Sheriff's Department on here, but Judy Stuker is on here. I don't know if they have anything to report for the Sheriff's Office or not. So,
Judy, is there anything from the Sheriff's Office? I'll take that as a no.
And then I have Angie Vaughn with safety on here.
Angie Vaughn, safety.
Probably not on audio.
Might not be. Angie, can you hear us? I see her toggling her mic on and off, but I don't hear anything, so I'm not sure.
Hello, can you hear me?
We
yes.
can. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning. I'll get this figured out eventually. I really don't have a whole lot new to share. I am going to be working with the fire department today. We're going to be doing some N95 mask fit testing, getting that all done for the people who don't normally use them, that we want to make sure that they're using them correctly. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Angie.
Thank you.
That's all I have. And we've got the COVID-19 update. Gina, Krista, do you guys have anything you want to address for that?
We continue to work in the EOC, Emergency Operations Center. We're starting to get some PPE in. I know that we've gotten some masks in that we've ordered. We were fortunate enough to receive from the Bureau of Emergency and Trauma Services through the state some additional funding to help with PPE and combating the COVID. We also think that sanitizer that we're supposed to get a couple of weeks ago, it was delayed by the weather,
Sounds like maybe it's en route finally, that they've gotten their transportation issues resolved, so we're looking forward to having that as well. Just continue the bottle up and reaching out to community leaders and trying to support the community as much as we can. Nina, do you have anything to add?
The only thing that I would add is, like Krista said, we're still putting our orders into the state on personal protective equipment, and they've been very generous to us to get us what we needed so far to help the hospitals, nursing homes, etc., maintain and continue working. And secondly, we're looking at different grants that are available to help out the community, trying to figure out what we can apply for, how the grants work, etc. So, and you know, still running the emergency operations center, and things are going well.
Thank you, Gina. Krista, go ahead. You go ahead.
Krista, why don't they use blood tests for COVID-19?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, Bob.
Why don't they use blood tests?
So they are doing testing, and that is based on criteria. If you use the Iowa Department of Public Health recommendations, and it goes to the state hygienic lab. But there is reference labs, that they call it, which are private labs that physicians can order their lab tests through, and then anyone that a doctor wants to order those tests to can have that done. So the only blood test that I'm hearing is more for the antibodies, to see if anyone's got antibodies for that. The reason they do the nasal swab is because that's where they're able to detect the virus.
Raising livestock, we use blood and saliva, but the blood goes back. I mean, you can tell everything from the blood, it seems like.
Yeah, I guess I don't know, if there is down the road the option to use the blood test for this. I mean, currently, like I said, the only thing they're finding with the blood test is the antibodies. That is my understanding, anyway.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd like to thank Krista and Gina, Tammy, when we have the Emergency Operations Center meetings. Tammy from Great River was complimented on how well they work together, the public health and emergency management and the hospital and everything, and said we're Des Moines County's doing very well, and there's a number of counties that that don't work that well together. So that's a big thanks to you two guys. So thank you very much. Okay, correspondence. Okay, we got the Southeast Iowa Riverboat Discretionary Income Distribution, and that's gone down a little bit. It'll probably go down in the future. This was the March distribution. We usually get $2,000 a month. We got $1,141.04. And we got the distribution from the Dewey Buyer Trust. This gets your chance. The annual distribution this year was $40,355.37, which would be about 2.5 cents off the levy. Bob, you feel free to editorialize this if you'd like. The Dewey Buyer Trust was set aside by Mr. Buyer, and the earnings on that are used to offset property taxes, county property taxes.
Yeah, instead of rural services.
And Bob contends, I have no dog in the fight, that those that was intended to offset rural taxes, but it is what it is. Anyway, so
I wasn't here, Terry.
So I imagine that the, I believe the casinos are closed, aren't they?
The casinos are closed.
So I imagine that,
Thank you, Dewey.
That the receipts from the casino will go away for a while. Did any of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
No.
I had a gentleman call me up about landfill, wanted to know when they was going to do it, and I told him it might be this fall. And his suggestion was that lower the rates so they could take stuff out. And that's all I had.
I know who you can take that up with.
Yeah. Should have given Mr. Beck's number.
Well, probably Hal. Much
yeah, I I'd go with Hal. Save one phone call.
We have accounts payable claims in the amount of $1,058,208.22.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have payroll claims reimbursements in the amount of $183.90.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a resolution and final plat for the second edition to the T minor subdivision. Jared, do you want to address that?
Yeah, I can do that. So this is a one lot minor subdivision in Benton Township, South End, on 155th Street, which is a Benton County road running east-west to the west of Irish Ridge. So as you can tell by the name, we've cleared of several subdivisions that have occurred in this area. So it started out as a 40 acre property owned by the T family. It had a couple of homes on it, and they did a one lot subdivision in 2001 to split off a 1.4 acre lot for building a house on 155th Street. However, as it turned out, a few years later when they actually built the house, it ended up going in a different spot, which was on that same now 38-acre property that the other house was located on. And then in 2010, a few years later, the first edition was actually the largest of three subdivisions where they took that 38-acre piece and split it into four parts. So each of the three existing houses got its own lot, and then there was a fourth lot potentially to be developed in the future. Those were all anywhere between 4 and 12 acres. So right now, we're looking at one of those three lots, the one that contains the home that was built in 2002, owned by SDN50T. So that one is about 10 acres, and their son is looking to build a house specifically in the area just to the west of the existing house. So that's what this subdivision is intended for, split off a 1.3 acre piece from that 10 acre lot. It would front on 155th Street. And it would be, if you get about 1.3 acres. In terms of our review process, not really much in terms of comment. It sounds like, with regards to septic, they've already been working with the health department on getting that arranged. They've also spoken with the secondary roads. It sounds like they haven't actually gotten a permit for an access off of the road yet, but they have had an initial review with the department, and that should be going through shortly. So this is a precaution since it hasn't been included yet. I felt it's appropriate to include a condition on the resolution that the
permit would need to be for road access off of 155th would need to be obtained prior to installation of a driveway. Apart from that, I think it's pretty straightforward, so we would recommend approval of this subdivision with that one as a condition.
Move to approve.
Second.
Thank you, Jared. Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a report from Veterans Affairs for March 2020. This report will be on file and available for review at the auditor's office.
Oh, can I make a comment that the Veterans Affairs is still looking for a member for their commission? They're one short, so if anybody is interested in serving on the Veterans Affairs Board, please let us know.
That was a good time to do that. There's probably millions watching this on YouTube.
Yeah, we hope.
We have minutes for the regular meeting of April 14th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
I have none.
Committee reports.
I have none.
Have none.
I attended by Zoom the governance board meeting for the Southeast Iowa Regional Mental Health and Disability Services. We approved claims and discussed some problems COVID-19 has created for the region. They're pretty much the same from county to county. And I've been attending the, by Zoom, the Emergency Operations Center's meeting and taking along. Moline County seems to be doing fine. They update on hospital equipment and beds and everything that's available. So,
do they do the Zoom here or over there?
Over there.
Over
in
there,
the,
yeah.
In the Operations Center.
Yeah. That's all I have. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, there is a email address or a phone number at the top of the agenda. So we will wait 2 minutes to give someone an opportunity to call in or email the board.
Next week we've got our public hearings. A public hearing for the budget amendment and then a public hearing for the sale of mineral rights to the U.S. gypsum plant. So we'll have lots of public hearings next week.
Is that all going to be done during the
meeting? During the meeting. Okay. During the meeting, yeah.
I should have asked Chris. I was kind of wondering when the governor put that in for the campground, you know,
uh-huh.
If he had to run anybody out because of that.
Yeah, I think he did the first night, didn't he? He had to go invite him to leave.
Yeah, that'd be kind of.
Yeah, I don't understand that, quite frankly. They're probably families that live together anyway,
yeah.
And they're outside.
Well, one of the concerns might have been everybody that didn't have anything to do going to the campground, so then you get some possible overcrowding or who knows.
Yeah, you're right there. set that so it'll stay on longer, so I don't have to keep.
All right, mine has to do that too, it times out after.
Yeah.
You see no one rise with an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We are adjourned.